Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me today. My website is www.jbsba.com. And I'm excited about having a couple of Johns on the show today. And we've done this once before. Both of these gentlemen have been on the show many times before individually, but once one other time together as we talked about income tax issues. And the first one is John Fox, John O. Fox. And he's not an Irishman, ladies and gentlemen. That's his middle initial. John O. Fox is an attorney. He's a professor at Mount Holyoke College in Amherst, Massachusetts. He's the author of an outstanding book called If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, and the new one, which is 10 Tax Questions the Candidates Don't Want You to Ask. John Fox, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Great pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you back. And now, John Bertu, ladies and gentlemen, who's the president of the National Taxpayers Union and an outstanding organization that works hard to make sure that you pay every penny of tax that you should pay and not a penny more. John Bertu, welcome back to the show.
Jim, always a pleasure, and I hope none of your listeners took the wrong meaning to that when you said you're going to have two Johns on.
Well,
maybe it'll bring up your ratings. I don't know.
I'm just trying to spice things up a little bit in my own, you know, really cool way. John, as you know, say hi to John Fox.
Hey, John Fox, how are you?
I'm well, John. Nice to be with you again.
It's good to have both of you on the show today. And first, I'd like to say that we're going to talk about today is we're going to use a lot of John's points that he makes in his 10 Tax Questions the Candidates Don't Want You to Ask book. But first, I think what I'd like to do is get both of you to. Now I've been talking about John about Ronald Reagan with regard to leadership, but let's talk about Ronald Reagan a little bit with regard to tax policy. And John Fox, I'm going to let you go first.
Well, it's an extraordinarily interesting period in American history because under Ronald Reagan, beginning in 1981, the top tax rates began to plummet. The top tax rate, a lot of people don't realize this, top tax rate when he became president on unearned income, dividends, interest, for example, was 70%. And in 1981, he got Congress to lower that to 50%. And by the time he was finished in 1986, there was a top tax rate of 28% for people who earned substantial income. So he was really instrumental in bringing down top tax rates. The other legacy, on the other hand, and I'm sure something John Bertu is very much aware of, is that despite his rhetoric of reducing the size of government, federal expenditures remained high. And so during the course of his presidency, the national debt, for example, which was about $800 billion for the first, 192 years of our nation, rose to over $2 trillion, $1.4, $1.5 trillion of additional debt during Reagan's period. So he wasn't able to, you know, bring to the nation the curtailment of government activities that he wanted to bring or claimed to want to bring, because there were so many forces within the Republican Party as well as the Democratic Party that said we need to have these government spending programs.
Yeah, well said, John. And of course, now he gets blamed for he gets credit for pulling the tax rates down, but he actually gets the blame for the deficits when John Bertu, I'm not sure he deserves all that blame.
Yeah, no, I would agree with almost everything John Fox just said. Probably the really great achievement was already well outlined, the reduction of top marginal rates. And the failure of the administration, and John's absolutely right, it was a bipartisan resistance on Capitol Hill. You can see today, two decades later, Little has changed. There's big spenders in both parties up on Capitol Hill, which is causing the spending explosion we're going through now. And the, the Reagan Revolution was half a revolution. It was a revolution on the tax side. We cut taxes dramatically and we cut rates dramatically, but because we mostly failed on the other half of the equation, there were, and we let's not be shy about talking about it, after Ronald Reagan cut taxes in 1981, he had to sign a number of tax increases as part of deficit reduction measures. So.
Hold on to that thought. I'm going to let you finish that one when we come back. And I got a couple of thoughts on this, too, because there's another thing that happened in 1986 that he doesn't get much credit for. 2012, stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with John Bertu, the president of the National Taxpayers Union. And also John Fox, John O. Fox, the author of 10 Tax Questions the Candidates Don't Want You to Ask. And John Bertu, I had to stop you because we had to sell some things. Did you want to wrap up your thought?
No, I think I pretty much finished them. We had a half revolution, and the deficits I don't think had that much of an economic impact, even at 6% of GDP, which was their peak.
Right.
And it's important to remember to think about these things relative to the size of the economy.
That's exactly right. And that's the thing that I think people don't take into consideration is that I wish my business had the debt to equity ratio that the United States does. That would make me very happy.
It's always a little risky to analogize between government finances and personal finances, but there is something to be said for thinking about a mortgage that maybe I couldn't handle, but that Ernie Els could deal with very easily. Thinking about the national deficits, national debt, the big numbers that you hear sound scary, but when you put it in the context of a $12, $13 trillion economy today, it's a very different story.
One of the things that we now know, though, the experiment I think is over. The Democrats ran up the deficit by not stopping their spending in when taxes were cut in the 80s, and now the Republicans have done the same thing when the tax rates have been cut. The Republicans, who now control Congress, cannot stop spending, and apparently Mr. Bush doesn't like the veto pen. So my point, John Fox, is that the experiment's over, and it's not Democrats are big spenders or Republicans are big spenders. They're both big spenders.
Yeah, and I think actually historically they've both been big spenders, and it's very hard. For example, in the Reagan period, Reagan never vetoed, the budgets. I mean, Democrats wanted slightly higher budgets than he was proposing, but he never vetoed it. And I'm also concerned, if I could just say something maybe different from what both of you feel about the debt. I've done a lot of work with businesses. That was the history of my practice. But I think it's very different for a business which is reaching if you're near the declining years of your business, you're less inclined to run up a huge debt than if you're in the earlier years when you know that you have the ability to handle that debt over many, many years. And I'm terribly concerned that today we're looking at a twilight of the baby boom generation. I think we're at a different time now to compare, for example, the debt structure during the Reagan period and the debt of today. Because now we're about to have the baby boomers retire. They begin retiring in 2011. The ratio of workers to retirees is going to change from about 4-to-1 to 2-to-1 over the next 40 years or so. So I do think it's terribly different. And I think just the very fact that the Medicare trust fund is going to be bankrupt in 2019, Social Security.
But that's
trust
a separate fund. Issue from the national debt, though, John. Isn't
well,
it?
No, but it is built in. I think John Bertu has written and spoken extensively on this. When we look ahead, we have an unfunded national debt that is trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in the obligations under Medicare and Social Security and Medicaid. And so I'd be interested in seeing what John Bertu said. But these are future debt. We never had that facing us in 20 years mm-hmm. ago because we were at the height of when the baby boomers were working.
John Bertu, he's right about that. the last statement he made.
Absolutely. I think we all can agree. And you know, I might split the difference between you two guys, whether it's a separate issue from the year-to-year deficits or in debt or not. You know, obviously, when we run $400 billion in deficits this year, it puts a half brick on the shoulders of the long-term liabilities, but really, it really pales in comparison to the long-term, just $60, $70, $80 trillion in unfunded liabilities that we're facing, many multiples of the size of the American economy, and the president and this Republican Congress, to their great shame, only added to that problem last year to the tune of $8.1 trillion. Over 75 years with this Medicare bill, so which is, you know, they thought, we told them it wasn't going to be, but they thought it was going to be great election politics to heap more benefits on seniors, including a lot of wealthy seniors. Mm-hmm. But the
that remains to be seen. John, let me stop you for a second, because John Fox, I want to get to one of your tax questions.
Sure.
Now, John Baer, too, is the candidate. I want you to ask him one of your tax questions.
Okay. You mean actually draw one out?
Yeah, I want you to pull one out of your hat and ask
Jimmy,
John Baer to.
You insulted me saying I'm a candidate, but
he's right, a candidate, John, on this show. Go ahead.
All right, John Baer, as a leading candidate for federal office. This is these questions for anybody running for federal office, not just the president. But let me just start with Medicare. The Medicare trustees report to us that the Medicare Trust Fund, which the seniors all depend upon for their hospitalization and nursing home care, is going to be bankrupt in the year 2019. Mm-hmm. They say to fix it, you're going to have to either cut benefits by about 40%+ currently, or add over 2.5% or so, close to 3% to the tax rate. And what do you do then as a candidate? You've added a prescription drug program. Maybe you weren't in Congress at the time, but you've added a prescription drug program, which is part of not part of Medicare. So what are you going to say to the public about how do we address the Medicare long-term deficits?
And John Baer, before you start, because John Fox did ask a question and made three statements, we have to go to a break. So stand by, everybody. I'm going to let John Baer, too, answer that question on the other side of these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with John Fox and John Baer, too. Back, it's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with John Baer and John Fox. John Fox's book is called 10 Tax Questions the Candidates Don't Want You to Ask. John, give us your website, please.
It's johnofox.com.
John O'Fox, like the Irishman.
Yes, John,
but he's not Irish.
John, yeah, John. Oh, you got to put the O in there. www.johnofox.com, and they can find out all about the book and my prior book and articles I've written.
Read the table of contents and little excerpts from the book. Check that out.
Right.
And John Baer, your website is ntu.org, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And that's National Taxpayers Union. And you guys work hard to make sure that we don't pay any more taxes than we have to.
Yep. No, we'd love to have some of your listeners come on and sign up for our free email list. And they get updates about every 10 days or 2 weeks from what's going on in Washington.
It's a good organization, folks, so check that out. John Baer, answer John's question. Remind us what he asked you, and then give us the answer.
Well, John asked the very the hardest question. I hope it's the hardest question on his list, because it's the biggest conundrum these guys have: the unfunded liabilities facing the Medicare system in the amounts of tens of trillions of dollars. And how do we resolve it? And, of course, last year, the heroic Republicans in Congress resolved it by making the problem worse. I was taught when I was a kid, when you're in a hole, to stop digging, but these guys want to keep digging. I think I would, and we have for many years, talked about, obviously the National Taxpayers Union, we don't want to see even higher taxes. I'd like to see means testing of benefits. I think that was one of our first critiques of the Medicare bill, that you had 76% of seniors with good coverage. In fact, the president's initial proposal focused federal dollars only on low-income folks, folks without coverage. And really, I don't think we have any choice. Others may disagree and may want to add taxes, but it's hard to say that we're going to be able to, in the coming years, not take a healthy whack out of upper-income seniors.
So you're saying either means testing or actually cutting benefits?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's just...
John, that's your backwards thank words, but
no choice.
I think John Bertud would agree with one modification to what I'm, of what he said. I think you're going to have to find a lot of middle-income people, if you mean test it, would not get the full benefits. They simply wouldn't. We can't afford it if we're going to address this.
I'm like Diogenes. I'm looking for the honest man or woman who's going to do that. John Fox, one more question.
Well, we have a mortgage interest deduction on up to $1 million of loans to buy one or two houses. The biggest problem for so many households in this country is their rent. They have enormous rental expenses as a percentage of their income. They'd like to become homeowners, and then they can actually curtail their costs in many cases because they can control them and communities benefit. I'm asking the question, what would you say about reducing the deduction from $1 million down to a more middle-level figure and using the tax savings to create a fund to help families who could afford to buy a home but need to come up with a down payment, help them with that down payment so more and more families can become homeowners?
You're saying not to put a cap on how big a house you can deduct, the mortgage on which you can deduct.
Yeah, I mean, you can buy any kind of house. Yeah. The government's only going
to
help you with a typical home.
John Fox,
and use the tax savings to help more people become homeowners.
John Bertud, you're the candidate. What would you say about that?
Well, you know, I see where John's going, and it's a good question, and there's some merit to it. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of the robbing Peter to pay Paul. That said, I can't disagree that we lavish huge tax benefits on homeowners. We have long supported a flat tax that gets rid of the home mortgage deduction entirely. And, you know, I think it will, which the real estate industry hates, but I think if you look at the economics of the flat tax, it would work out just fine and for homeowners. But, you know, I do think that the breaks that we have in the tax code for homeowners, driven by several very powerful lobbies, do cause distortions. I think
John, I got to
stop you. Is a bigger change than John's talking about.
Yeah, exactly. I think we ought to sunset the current tax code and start over again. Is what I think. John Fox, John Bertud, thank you both for being here.
Thank you, guys.
It was a pleasure. Love to do this again.
We will, real soon. John Fox's book is 10 Tax Questions the Candidates Don't Want You to Ask, wherever books are sold, and at johnofox.com. And don't forget, ntu.org. That's John Bertud's organization. It's a good one. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.